Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Verge Podcast. Comic book lover, read it, trade paperback every single week, baby.
Baby.
I'm Daniel Yore, Nathan Weir Brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do.
Baby.
Eisner-nominated comics.
Yes, sir.
Which is what we're doing this week. The Eisner's coming up. Biggest day of the year.
We're able to squeeze one in.
Yeah.
Dude, it kind of sucks that it's the biggest day of the year for, like, us-wise, you know, but we can't, like, stream the thing. We just kind of see the results.
I know. When are they going to televise it?
I don't think ever. Maybe they'd
not
be
televise
some,
it, but like on Twitch.
Yeah, like an online stream, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We just need to convince someone to stream it from their phone or something.
I feel like we could convince San Diego Comic Con and be like, let me set up over there.
Yeah.
I'll get one of those IRL stream backpack things.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it'll be more official.
It just kind of, like, the anticipation, you know?
Yeah, I'll run ads for them and stuff, too.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
And just, like, see some speeches stuff.
What are the Eisners even, like, I feel like it's probably so chill, you know? Because they don't have, like, a comedian that comes out.
I feel like it's, like, the Met Gala, you know? You don't really know what goes on in there.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's, like, a host of some sort.
I think there is, but it's not like they're...
It's not like Conan or anything.
They're not like Shane Gillis at the ESPYs, you know?
No. It's, like... Maybe like Patton Oswalt or something.
That would be cool.
Would you be a big?
He would hate to do it because I think he's hosted actual
awards. I'm sure he's done an Emmy or something.
Yeah,
he does a game show. I saw.
Oh,
some like trivia kind of one about like science or something. But anyway, different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Uncanny Valley. We got Back Matter Matters and the poll list, but we start with the news. Nathan.
Yo.
Did you watch the trailer I sent you?
Red Sonja?
Red Sonja.
Yeah, I watched it before you even sent it to me.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I watched it like the hour it came out somehow. I just caught it.
And you
I
did?
I was like, oh, there's a Red Sonja thing.
Yo, that Nathan's so excited for Red Sonja.
No, I'm not. I had alerts on my Twitter.
Finally.
Tell me when the Red Sonja
appears. I had no fucking clue this is even like on the radar.
I didn't know that either, and I still don't really know what it's about, to be honest.
Red Sonja is like a side character of like Conan the Barbarian. So it's like Lady Barbarian.
But are they still connected universe wise?
I think so. Yeah, I don't think they're ever
I've
disconnected.
Felt like they were their own thing.
They had definitely their own solo series and stuff.
Yeah. Do they fuck?
I guess we'll see.
He comes up out of nowhere.
But yeah,
it seems fun.
The trailer came out like a month before the movie comes out.
Yeah, that's got to be a good sign.
Comes out August 15th. I guess. It might be in theaters, but like I'm not sure. It might go straight to like video or whatever.
Yeah.
I doubt like any streamers like have it as like their original or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
probably not.
Maybe like a limited.
It'll probably be like, yeah, limited release. Seems fine.
It seemed like better than I thought it would be because it doesn't seem like big
for
studio.
A movie that comes out in a month. Yeah.
Yeah. But it seems like. Like, respectable, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
You're going to try and watch it?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Cool. I've never read a Red Sonja thing.
We might.
We should for the show. I mean, that's what we're here for.
All right. Good.
Like Gail Simone's, I think, done a few.
No convincing needed.
Yeah.
I heard. I looked into it. I guess Gail Simone kind of changes a lot of the lore in her run.
Okay.
So she
made it woke.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know. I think she...
she put clothes on her?
You know, I think she might... If we're actually thinking about what woke means, I think she did.
Okay.
But I dug into it.
Okay. Then we were talking about the biggest award show of the year.
Yep.
The Eisners. But the lesser known one, the Emmys, are happening.
Yeah.
And The Penguin got nominated for 24 Emmys.
I was confused because I watched the Golden Globes and I realized that's different than the Emmys.
But I'm like, also TV, isn't it?
Golden Globes is like everything.
It's like TV and movies. It's like, yeah, okay. And then Emmys is just TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I feel like this came out so long ago to where like I thought the time had passed for The Penguin to still be considered for this year.
Yeah.
I guess not. It seems late in the year for have like an award show for shit that came out last year, you know?
I don't know what the cycle is because I don't think it's calendar year.
Is in there.
Yeah, the pit's in there. But that
was this year, right?
That was like pretty recently this year.
Right. Well, I'm happy for the Pit noms.
Yeah, the Pit. I hope the Pit wins everything because it's still holding up as the best show of the year. But I don't know. I don't know what like the cycle is for Emmys and when it starts or ends.
Oh, dude,
must be August, I guess.
The Pit's coming back in January, supposedly.
Whoa, wait, that's soon.
Yeah, dude.
They just found out they're doing another one of those bitches.
They did? Okay.
I thought.
It says here, season premiere.
Or maybe they knew.
It says expected.
Maybe they knew that they had some good shit, so they started early. But that's cool. That's news.
What do you think the Pit's rated on IMDb?
Like
out of 10.
A critic?
Just,
oh, no, out of 10. Oh, IMDb. Probably like...
It'll be...
Do they do percentage, like point?
Point and then one digit.
Okay, 9.2?
8.9, pretty close.
Oh, okay.
That's still pretty fucking high.
I feel like it's pretty low for that show.
Okay, so the first episode of the last season came out January 9th as well.
Of The Pit?
Yeah.
It did?
Yeah, dude. It was all this year. So maybe the cutoff's like...
I don't think that's...
First quarter or something, like the fiscal year, you know?
Yeah, it must be. Daniel.
Emmy cutoff. So you just want to talk about how the Penguin was in there?
Yeah, they got a lot of nominations. Do you want to, you want me to read all of them?
No.
Because they're all really long.
No, there's like a billion of them.
Outstanding,
dude.
Lead actor in a limited or anthology series or movie.
Oh, so everything up until May 31st.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you know what? Because like there's like pilot season and stuff. And then there's like the breaks for Christmas and stuff. And then a lot of shit comes back after those breaks. So I think it's like just best for...
The time frame that they have?
For TVs and stuff, yeah.
Mm, okay. That makes sense.
Anyway. Do you have any more on that?
No.
Okay. Hey, then. Dune 3 is coming out.
Threen?
Yep. Yep.
I called the last one Tune.
Tune.
I don't have a good name for this one. Are they going to make the E the 3?
Hopefully.
They have so much opportunity.
It'd be
Dune, is it just called Dune 3?
Dune Part 3.
Dune Part 3?
Yeah.
Was Tune Dune Part 2?
Yeah.
Cool.
And it'll be coming out on December 18th of next year, which is the same day as Avengers Doomsday.
More like Doomsday, baby. I know what I'm seeing. That'll definitely shift around, I feel like.
Do you think?
Yeah. People will have to make a decision.
They're basically playing a game of chicken. Who do you think?
I think Dune moves up to like November or something.
Really? No, I think... I think Dune's got more hype than like probably, Avengers right now.
Yeah. I'm playing a lot of Dune.
I think Avengers has to fold.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of like that game Dune, and I've just been loving Dune lately. So I don't know. I'm kind of a Dune head.
Hell yeah, dude. There's a Dune show. Did you watch that?
No, fuck that.
Really?
That's before the Dunes were even a thing.
What?
I don't know.
No, there's like...
That's the Bene Gesserit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The people that whisper sweet nothings.
Yeah.
You could do that in the game.
Ooh, you can flirt with people?
Yeah.
That's cool.
But I'm part of the clan that kisses their uncles.
Hell yeah, brother. You get to pick?
Harkonnen, yeah.
Nice.
That's interesting, though, that they... That'll definitely change. Someone will fold. And I don't think it'll be Dune.
I'll see a double feature, you know? Just watch 6 hours of movie, you know?
In the Dune, Doom. Dune and then Doom.
It's just Dune's Day that people will be calling it.
Yeah, Dune's Day, I think.
Daniel, it writes itself.
You know? Do you like when Marvel crosses over with things like DC?
All the time. Yeah, I sure do.
Here's a big one that I'll knock your socks off.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Marvel and the really old cartoon Gargoyles. They're going to cross over for a first ever crossover, October 2025. It's a one-shot from the creator of Gargoyles, Greg Wiseman, who I think did a Spider-Man. I know that name from something. He did like a Spider-Man show, I think.
Okay.
And artist Enid Bellum. Whoever that is.
Interesting.
Did you ever watch that? I heard it's really good, but I've never watched it.
I think IDW Dynamite just had Gargoyles, like the comic, come out.
Yeah, people love it.
Really? Okay. I hadn't heard anything.
I heard it's like really, really
good. I've seen it like in the news, but like it didn't mean anything to me, but that's cool. It seems.
You should check it out. Lucas, when he's of age.
Quite a come up of a property, you know?
I'm going to look up Greg Wiseman real quick. Yeah, Spectacular Spider-Man and Young Justice.
Oh, cool.
So he's good.
Good man.
Yeah.
It's funny that there's just some shows that you just like can't stream. Like, you just have to buy them, I guess. It's like, they pay money.
That was the most first world problem thing.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't it weird that you can't just have anything you want at any moment,
ever? I guess I could, like, get into buying DVDs, like, you know, the box sets they have as Zia and shit.
Yeah, because don't act like you're having, you're above having physical media, because, yeah, this whole ass room.
Right, my, it's like my favorite thing to buy. Because I think my DVD player is, like, my PS5. You know, if I needed to play something. So, yeah, not above it.
Have you seen that interview show where they're like a bunch of movies and they're like in the closet?
Oh, the Criterion Closet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should do that for comics. And it's like Frank Miller and he's like, yeah, I really like Gargoyles, this comic.
He's like, I really like these cave drawings. It really inspired my artwork.
Yeah.
You know, dude,
I think it'd be cool.
The Criterion Closet is like small because there's only like 1,200 movies, you know, and DVDs are like that big.
That's a lot of movies.
There's actually enough to number them, the Criterion stuff.
Yeah.
And there's enough to where one aligns with every date of the year. Wait, so I guess...
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean one aligns with every day of the year?
So, okay, so you can go to like, I can go to like 4/15.
Uh-huh.
Right, and there's one for like my birthday.
Oh.
You know, and so I can...
How does that get assigned?
I think they just... There's a committee who decides something goes in the Criterion Collection.
And they're
and
like...
And then they just get the next number. So there's...
So there's 300...
So if you were born on New Year's Eve, there is one that's 1231. So there's like 1,200
But that'd only be 365 movies.
Yeah. I just thought of that when you said when you were confused by it. I'm like, oh, I guess... There's some movies.
So there's like 4 years in there, and that's it. That's all you get. It sounds like a dumb Dewey Decimal system.
No, no, no. It's just, I think about if you had your own like Dewey Decimal system for your home collection,
yeah.
And the first trade you got gets a one.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just keep doing that.
I don't think that's how Dewey Decimal system works.
Do you know what I mean? An organizational system.
Okay, got it. So it's not alphabetical in the Criterion Closet?
No, no, no.
Oh, weird.
Because, like, no. Because, like, it's new movies come out all the time, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's a cool show. Any other news?
I really like the Criterion Closet because, like, it's always weird people picking up weird movies. It's always, movies. Like,
weird jerk-off art like, house movies.
I've never heard of that ever.
I like that clip where there was, like, the two guys and one of them was talking about that, like, Spike Lee movie. That like Spike Lee movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's like talking about it really like genuinely.
Do the Right Thing or something.
Yeah, Do the Right Thing. And then like I think it was John David Washington. He's like, Austin Powers. Like right after that.
He's like, Jackie Chan box set.
Is that what it was? Yeah. I was like, that's so funny.
I think that's his brother that was talking about movies like smartly.
Yeah. I hate when people do that.
I mean, I'm sure it's like valid. I watched Ryan Coogler's. And he was just talking about like a lot of like
he's awesome though.
A lot of like black movies and they're like I'm like, oh, I've actually heard that these are all like really good.
Yeah, so, he knows ball for sure.
Yeah. So
there's some people if you're like just a movie reviewer, I don't care if you talk about movies in a smart way, I guess.
But I this is one podcast where like they'll talk like that about movies, like kind of like shit you've never heard of.
Uh-huh.
But then they'll be like, oh, I also love Venom.
Yeah.
You know? I'd be like it just like it kind of annoys me.
Well, that's what I like. I like when people can like get really deep into the just undertones and themes of a movie and then be like, man, I really love QB Halloween as well. You know?
Yeah, I guess so.
So I appreciate more than someone that's just trying to, I don't know.
Like if a movie is like very commercial, I think I like when they can acknowledge that they're fun, you know? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I actually do have more news.
More news.
Absolute Evil, Nathan, number one. It's
like a forever evil?
No, maybe.
Is it?
It's talking about all the evil villains in the Absolute Universe and what they're doing, I guess.
Oh.
Number one, coming October 1st.
Is this a one-shot?
Al Ewing and Giuseppe Camuncoli.
Oh,
It might be a miniseries.
Cool.
I don't think it's a one-shot.
Do you see that Absolute Croc?
Absolute Croc, did I see it? No,
he's got like teeth that like go down his like mouth and then like down like the side of his body. It's crazy.
Oh, it sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
Nathan, the Last Wolverine coming October 22nd by Saladin Ahmed and Edgar Salazar.
Ooh.
I guess it's a future thing. I don't know.
Is it, which Wolverine is it?
The last one.
Hmm. Okay.
Maybe it's like Logan at the end of his life or something, or
could
like
be. Could be an X-23.
He looks kind of like mutated, like he wasn't like a human kind of thing. Like he's some sort of like lizard person or something. I don't know what's happening.
That's weird.
Look into that if you're interested.
I'll maybe check that out.
Gotham Academy : first year is coming.
That's cool. We should check that book out, Gotham Academy. That was like huge when it was coming out, I feel like.
Was Tinian on that?
No.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
But anyway, that's coming October 1st. It's got a bunch of writers, a bunch of artists. I think Becky Cloonan's in there.
I think that's the one who did it.
Becky Cloonan? Yeah. Just keeping it going.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Cloonan, Brendan Fletcher, Carl Kerschel, Dave McCaig.
Yep. I wonder if that's any good.
Is that the cover you're thinking of?
Yep.
Yeah.
Was that New 52?
It says 2014.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember seeing this a lot because I think it was going around. Yeah, it was going like when I started reading comics.
Yeah, and I think it was just the top YA thing. Maybe that was coming out.
True.
Cool.
Last thing, DCKO.
Oh, I think I saw like a panel of this, but I didn't know what it was.
Yep, let me tell you.
DC Wrestling?
Coming October 8th. It's a fighting tournament
The
DC Universe. Written by Scott Snyder.
Oh, really?
Art by something Fernandez? I can't remember. I didn't write it down.
Cool.
So, okay.
Who you got winning?
Dude, the one and only. Wildcat.
He's got to win it all. I'm betting. Can I bet?
Put your weight down.
DraftKings.
If somehow, I think somehow he could figure out how to just beat Superman, you know?
Yeah, Wildcat's got to win.
Somehow everyone gets depowered or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It just comes to who's got the best mitts, you know? Who's the biggest slugger, you know?
Yeah, that would be cool. I'm excited for that. I think
if that's how that ends, best comic ever.
Easily. Yeah. Dude, imagine all the suplexes.
So many suplexes. Oh
my God. Dude, there's a suplex. I forgot to tell you last week when I was reading one of the Wonder Woman issues. There was a nasty suplex in it.
Yeah. How did you rate it?
Dude, it's got to be a 7 out of 7 suplex.
Whoa. Dang.
It was pretty good.
Anyway, Nathan, what book did we read this week?
We read Eisner-nominated Uncanny Valley by Tony Fleeks and Dave Wachter. I believe that's how you say his name.
Wachter, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I listened to a podcast with Tony Fleeks.
Wachter. That's crazy.
Maybe he doesn't know how to pronounce it either.
Yeah, I think they spelled it wrong then, if that's Wachter. And then letterer Pat Brasso. And what was this nominated for? Best Limited? Or Best New Series?
Probably new.
This only has 7. Out.
Incorrect.
That's all that's on Comixology.
Oh, maybe
7 issues.
Maybe they delayed it or something.
Yeah.
Because 10 came out like last week, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I'm wrong then. Thanks for the heat check there.
I just look into things too much. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm glad that you corrected me.
We gotta promote every issue, you know?
Yeah, true.
Best new series.
Okay.
Just want to clarify.
That makes sense.
What'd you think, Nathan?
This is great. It's really, really fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fun that I didn't think the Eisners would, you know, we were talking about fucking too, like, artsy of, I guess the Eisners isn't really like that, because, like, Absolute Batman and shit is on there. But this is a really, really fun
Eisner
book.
People normally know Ball.
Yeah. You know? But they,
because it's like,
there's definitely a bit of both in there where it's like, it's just fun and it's good. And then this is like really deep, heavy themes and it's good. Like art housey.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like really fun and it's good. And I think that it has like I like barely knew about this. Like I think I maybe saw one of the covers and I was like, oh, it might be kind of cool.
Mm.
But if I had known kind of what the idea of this was when it came out, I probably would have picked it up.
Yeah.
You know, but it's really, really good because it merges like cartoons in comics, which sounds silly because they're all just drawings, but you could definitely tell that these are like inspired by real cartoons that exist. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that aspect of it. And there's like a crazy, it feels like Looney Tunes on the Loose or whatever that movie is.
Back in Action?
Back in Action, yeah.
Good movie.
Is this the Brendan Fraser one?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to rewatch that movie. It's probably not on streaming anywhere.
It's probably not. It doesn't hold up quite as good as...
No, I bet it does.
You think?
I remember it being the best movie ever, so I assume I assume it holds up and is the same. What did you think of this?
Yeah.
Banger.
Banger. Banger art.
Yeah.
And just when there's the different art styles, I'm just a sucker for it.
Dude, like, I am like, too.
How do you do it?
Oh, my...
You can do it all, you know?
Yeah, well, it's like there's clearly distinct like cartoon styles in this too. So not only is he like there's drawing like a different styles, but there's different styles in the like subverted genre that he's like drawing from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's like a kind of Hanna-Barbera-esque.
Yeah.
And then there's like
Masters of the Universe type,
right,
type drawing.
Like some old Disney kind of, even like a little bit of like a Cuphead kind of style.
Mm-hmm.
But I low-key kind of wish that like the cover wasn't like a spoiler. Because you look at the cover, you see different art styles. You're like, okay, what's that?
Yeah.
Because I think it had just been so cool to kind of go into this blind. And then you're just like,
you're like what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Because I think...
It's hard to... like, what would you even make as a cover, you know?
I mean, I have no clue. Maybe the variants or something. But that, like, imagine you got a variant and you didn't, and you're just picking this up blind because you're like Tony Fleece. And then like... And then you just start reading it. You're like, holy shit, here we go.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
I fucking flew through this.
Yeah, it's super, like, easy to, like, it flows so, so well.
I think Tony, like, writes like an artist to where, like,
oh, totally.
It's very art forward.
Because he's writer-artist of Stray Dogs, right?
Stray Dogs, Feral, other stuff.
Yeah, you could tell that
he collabs on.
He has a pretty good collaboration. Man. Sense,
yeah, writers, they just be yapping, you know?
I know, yeah.
And he's like, I need to write,
he's like, here's what I'm thinking cool. for this,
yeah,
yeah. And there's just like a lot of fun, like gags in here, I guess, that are just referencing like cartoon visual tropes,
yeah,
that I think are really fun. So, this rules.
Like, the last couple of weeks, I know you just read like an issue a day for mm-hmm. whatever we're reading on the podcast, but this I just fucking knocked out.
Yeah, I finished this on like Saturday.
I'm like, this is incredible,
yeah, it was super, super fun. Kind of funny in like certain spots too. So, But let's get into it. So Oliver gets in trouble at school for jumping off a bridge with some other kids as he's trying to just fit in at the new school. Oliver's mom, Margaret Pete, is called in. Oliver gets suspended and is forced to just kind of sit at home, and he's like watching cartoons. But that night, there's a swarm of cartoonish looking crows that break into the house and are trying to take Oliver. They're calling him the half breed. And as they try to leave the house, the cartoon character Pecos Pete comes in to save them. And we find out that Pecos Pete is Oliver's grandpa. And Oliver has some like cartoonish powers that he uses to get them out of that situation. Oliver's mom is separated from Pecos Pete and Oliver in like the commotion, but they drive off and leave the mom.
And Pecos Pete is fucking strapped.
He is. He's got that blunderbuss. Well, like, what's funny is that he has this like shotgun blunderbuss thing, and you could tell that's his because it looks like a cartoon. And then later he has like, he's strapped with this revolver that I think was just in the glove compartment, and that's like way more detailed. So I don't think that that's like his.
Like a 357 Magnum, yeah, or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, where was that?
But it's so funny watching him like hold it because it's like very jarring and just those differences.
Yeah. Like his big cartoon finger like barely fits like in front of the trigger.
Yeah. But in the beginning, when you see him like jump off the bridge, there's like a little nod that he's a cartoon character, because when he jumps off the bridge and lands on the ground, there's like a Oliver shaped hole in the ground, and everybody else just like,
because they jumped into the like ground. Leaves, so I didn't even like fucking,
I didn't even think about it,
clock that,
which, you know? Is like, which is such a good like,
but also thing. He's like dizzy and there's like birds flying around his head,
yeah, and that's
I'm
good
like, I missed
but then
the
like the other kids are like, oh fuck, I probably broke my leg or whatever,
yeah, everyone else is injured,
yeah. And he's like, oh man, that was crazy. And then the mom is like, you jumped off a bridge? Like, that's so generic.
Yeah.
I didn't think kids actually did that. And I think that line's really funny. So, like, but what's so impressive is that I didn't expect the cartoon. I don't know what I was expecting going into this. So I was reading this and I was like, man, they're setting up this Oliver kid like pretty well.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think there's going to be this like twist about it being cartoonish and stuff, but like they feel like real characters to the start of like a comic book, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like slice of life type
his comic like book. Realism artwork is incredible.
It's so good. Like
everyone looks perfect.
Like his room has
the
so
bedroom
many,
is so fucking sick.
The bedroom has so many fun details. He's got like little figurines. He's got the CRT TV with like some books stacked on there and some
hell
posters.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's a lot of personality there, which I love.
Something that caught me off guard when he's like at the principal's office at the school.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a culture ceremony thing going on where it's like there's some sort of presentation of like Native Americans. And they're like mm-hmm.
they're, wearing big
they're drumming and stuff. And the sound effect for the drums was bang, 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 bang. And that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I was like, how about like bong, bong,
boom,
or,
boom,
or like, boom, yeah. boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
drum, drum, drum.
I was like, fuck, this took a fucking turn.
You're like,
dude.
Jesus Christ, you're getting lit up in there.
This Eisner shit, you know, it gets dark.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, thank God.
Oh, man, everything's okay.
It's the drums. I guess you do bang on a drum, but it's just interesting choice.
Yeah, know your audience. I'm just kidding. Pecos Pete looks awesome.
Yeah, he's like the Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, I was trying
character.
To remember his name, Yosemite Sam. But I think the jarring nature of the differences between the art styles definitely works to his benefit, especially with like cartoon lettering. Like when he explodes into the house and it's like boom, it feels like a cartoon boom, but it's like good lettering as well.
And part of me just wanted the cartoon characters to have like a little bit of a thicker outline, but they definitely get the point across. You know,
it didn't bother me at all.
Okay. That was just something I
because it's definitely a thicker outline than like what Oliver has, right? Or is it about the same?
Yeah, it is.
I think the big thing is that they're not shaded because you don't really do shading in
right, like, just flats.
Kids' cartoons, right? So yeah, pretty cool. Good first issue.
Yeah, I did like the realism part, like the cars that he draws. I'm like, good cars.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I could
Bro can make a normal comic book if he wanted to, but he's made a fun one.
Have we seen him on other stuff? His name sounds familiar.
I
but
bet we have.
Like this minivan, I'm like, good minivan. Was that a Chrysler, you know?
Go to DaveWachter.com. He's done some Iron Fist, some X-Men, some Godzilla, some TMNT. What have we read from him?
Didn't he do like work with like David Walker?
Yeah.
Like they like collab a lot.
Let me see what this Iron Fist one was.
Was it written by David Walker?
No.
Because I remember it was David Walker and then David Wachter.
Yeah, what was that series? Wachter?
And so,
no, isn't it?
Did you do Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
He says that?
I think
he did Planet of the Apes with David Walker.
Yeah. Which writer, David Walker, and then pencil / inks, Dave Walker.
Okay. I got to read that. That sounds good. I think that's more recent.
These pages look good. Oh, my God.
That's like a more recent Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, prior to Kingdom, but
who wrote Iron Fist? Post-war. Larry Hama. Interesting. Okay, but he's done
that's
Ghost
cool.
Rider, some Punisher, some X-Men, some TMNT, Spider-Man 29, Miss Marvel and Venom. It's a weird team-up. And then his stuff
is... Oh, yeah,
is
I remember that. That's like a one-shot or
Detachment
something.
Detachment and Guns of Shadow Valley are some other ones. And some Star Wars. Yeah, he's good. I like him.
Yeah, definitely. When the crows were like attacking their house, and they're like, get the half-breed. I'm like, is he half-crow? Is he the crow?
This turns into the crow.
I was like, well, yeah.
It's funny because like, you don't immediately recognize that those are cartoon crows.
Yeah.
When they first come in, because there's a lot of them. And then.
But then when you look at them, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess
yeah,
so.
But then you can see like one a little bit closer up and you're like, that's a pretty cartoonish looking crow. I wonder what's going on here. And then you flip the page and it's like, boom, there's a cartoon. And so I like how it seems like they've eased you into it. Which
yeah.
And I don't know if that's intentional, but that was my experience reading it.
It's just cool that like, there's like basically just like a Roger Rabbit comic, you know?
Totally.
And they're able to just kind of make that very clear.
Yeah.
You know? That was obviously like an inspiration.
Yeah.
And I really fuck with that movie, so it's like cool that there's more like that, you know?
I fuck with that movie too. I watched like a YouTube video essay on just the making of that movie and how complicated it was.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. And then like the powers that he has like the fucking like... The Sonic legs.
Yeah, he's got the Sonic legs.
And then he fucking runs through the wall and there's like a person-shaped hole
yeah,
in the
like
wall.
Yeah, there's like a little poof. as well when he leaves.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's great.
That's so good. But like the person shaped hole, classic.
Classic.
You can't have a cartoon based comic and not have that. You know what I mean?
You have to.
So pretty cool. All
right, issue two.
Chapter two. Oliver and Pecos Pete go to a diner, and everyone's like pretty chill with the cartoon there. And so we find out that teens and adults sort of lose the ability to see cartoons, but kids can. But Oliver was chosen and is a half-toon, and he has some cartoon powers, apparently. Oliver's mom, Margaret, is trying to find Oliver, like get reconnected. One of the crows says that the first is looking for Oliver. We don't know why yet. Pecos and Oliver get attacked by Dingo the coyote, and they survive plummeting off of a cliff by closing their eyes and whistling and walking on like an imaginary land because they don't realize they're falling yet. That's like the cartoon logic. And so they get to the other side of the drop off, and then they have to paint in a like a little tunnel to like walk through and escape. You know, like you would with a
brilliant
with the Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whistling thing is really, really funny to me. Like that logic. Because you know how cartoons will like walk off a cliff and then they'll like still be walking for a little bit until they realize that they're over a cliff. Mm. Like I like that they can use cartoon logic in the real world to their advantage, and I think that's a really creative part of this.
Yeah, definitely. And the dingo is like it's just a dingo. Do you know what a dingo is?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like a Australian like dog coyote thing.
Oh
no, it's like a type of animal.
Got it.
Winston kind of looks like one.
He looks like he'd be called a dingo. Yeah.
Yeah. If you Google dingo, Winston will pop up, and then there'll also be pictures of dingoes.
Oh yeah. I mean, that just looks like a cute dog.
Yeah, but I guess they like are pretty vicious.
Australian lineage of dog. Oh, it is a dog, but they're pretty wolf looking. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Dude, I saw a TikTok of someone letting a wolf into their house and they're just treating it like a dog. I'm like, no, dude. When they have those bushy ass tails, steer clear for sure.
I feel that when I watch people like interact with the brown bears.
Yeah.
Because those are like the nice ones, I guess.
Good to know.
So he'll just like pet them and stuff. You know, he knows them in the woods.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
So he can have like cartoon features.
Yeah.
Like he like blows on his thumb and his like eyes, his ears pop out and they're like cartoony.
So he could be a full cartoon form at some point in this.
Yeah. If he blows hard enough.
Yeah. Or like when he falls off the cliff, his like neck extends really far while his like body falls, but his head hasn't yet.
There's a like an anvil that drops on like the hood of their car.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh perfect. And then there's just this very damaged car that they just fly through the windshield of.
Yeah.
When they're at the diner, Oliver's like worried about his mom. He's like, don't you have a phone? He's like, yeah, I have a phone. And he's like, where is it? It's like, it's at my house. You know, he doesn't have a cell phone.
Yeah. Kind of. Well, he's a cowboy.
Cowboys. And there's a bit where Oliver's like, or what's his name?
Pecos Pete.
He's like, don't you like cartoons? He's like, yeah, I like cool cartoons. You know, just like a little jab at his grandma.
Because it'd be like, I was watching like Looney Tunes versus like Teen Titans or something. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Definitely.
What if like second volume anime shows up and there's like fucking Evangelion like mechs and shit?
That'd be something. Did you read past this?
No, I was tempted to, but I didn't want to buy it.
Wow. You seem like you're a pretty big fan of it.
I am. But I have other comics that I've already bought that I wanted to read. But I was pretty tempted.
At least read six.
Okay. Because this did leave me... The end of the trade made me definitely want more.
Yeah, it was definitely a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And then I like kept reading. And six is like fucking crazy.
Really?
And okay. I was like, oh my God.
I'll check it. I thought it was only up to seven. And so I'm like, oh, if I just keep reading, then I won't be like caught up with answers that I want necessarily yet.
Yeah, so it'd probably just be like
what did you read up to?
Eight.
How did you get eight?
Six, seven, eight were on Hoopla.
Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
So, and then I was tempted to just go buy eight and nine.
Yeah.
And just have eight and nine of a series.
That'd be cool. Well, I like that the cartoon characters you know, they're legally distinct from who they're clearly referencing, but like you can tell, you know, like this dingo is definitely Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. And like, and there's like a couple Pecos of them.
Pete's Yosemite Sam. And yeah, there's like a lot of them that are like that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. It definitely leans into like indie superhero comics where there's like,
oh, totally.
Pretty.
Yeah. Like distinct. Local Man. There's like people that are very clearly certain heroes.
Well, Local Man's like considered to be like a part of like the Image superhero universe.
Oh, I guess
like there's true, like, yeah, Cyberforce and stuff, yeah, which was true, like an Image true, book. True. So they just kind of insert themselves in the history.
I like that he did that in that.
That's genius. That book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, I'm part of this universe too, guys. The thing that hasn't been a
he's
thing.
Always been here.
Yeah.
I'm just working back.
Yeah. All right. Chapter 3. Pecos, Pete, and Oliver make it through the paint portal thing that they did. And they get some more paint from a hardware store. And Pecos keeps saying that Oliver is special and he's taking him somewhere so that everything will be fixed. He's not really elaborating on it. They're both attacked by evil toons, but they are defended by some good toons named Mecha Max, Trixie Belle, and Kung Fu Buggy. Pecos threatens to erase the bad toons with whiteout paint, which is a way to not kill them, but erase them from like existence, I guess. And then Oliver taps into some toon powers to punch the bad toon away, and then they ride Kung Fu Buggy to a location of evil toons, saying that they are taking Oliver to the first.
And I like did not clock that, like, the Kung Fu dude was also the Doom Buggy.
He's the best character in this.
He is very cool.
You could see him in his introduction. He turns from martial arts man to buggy.
I just saw the Kung Fu and then I saw a buggy and I just like, oh,
Kung Fu and buggy.
Yeah, and not until like later. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's the same person.
Yeah. No, I got that immediately. I'm like, that's so funny. that would be like a 90s cartoon or something. It's like,
yeah, for sure.
Kids like fighting in like trucks, you know? Yeah. It's like, let's put them together. But yeah, Trixie Belle, pretty clearly. What's her face?
Tinkerbell.
And then I don't know about Mecha Max. But these like evil toons look pretty cool too, because there's like small, like the black and white ones, there's like these small details where you can kind of see like the film grain on them, I guess. Like you see like the little vertical lines that would be,
oh,
isn't that fucking incredible?
Brilliant.
Yeah. Like just the level of detail that they went into for it to make it seem like retro is really cool. Like, and there's like a TV static on them too. Like the more I zoom in, you can kind of see it.
Yeah.
Which is so, so cool. Like that, like no one could, you probably can't even really notice that on print. Like I had to zoom in pretty far to see that. So the fact that he went to like that level of detail is really cool to me.
Kung Fu Buggy, that's his name?
Yeah, Kung Fu Buggy.
So he's got four toes here. When he kicks one of the wolf guys.
Yeah, he has five toes normally. Oh shit, he lost a toe.
Yeah, I know. Whoa. Is he missing a toe on one foot? I don't know.
Well, like on this panel, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just felt
you're important. Always noticing the feet stuff. Dude, that's what I noticed.
I don't know, dude. I just look at
I didn't him. Even notice that his toes were out this whole time.
It's just like if every part is drawn well, it's just impressive, you know?
Yeah, you'd think it wouldn't be too difficult to just add that fifth toe. It's just they're just circles.
I thought it was a cool bit where like Primer like just erases them.
I think that's cool.
Like,
because you can't kill them, I guess, but you can erase them, and that's part of the logic.
Yeah.
But then I feel like they kind of put that logic into question like a little bit later.
Yeah.
Which I don't love, but
you know, whatever. And it's funny, like the mom finds like the painting that's on the wall, but the road leads up to the wall like it does in like those cartoons.
Yeah. Which means that street functionally just goes to
a wall,
like a cliff wall.
Yeah. I'm like, what inspector approved this?
Yeah. Who opened this road? And then there's the toons at the end, which I'm really impressed by, because those are like the Masters of the Universe feeling tunes, I guess. I don't know, like, there's very clearly like different art styles to these different tunes. I just don't really know how to describe them, but these ones look more like Cuphead-ish, I guess, or not really, but more Masters of the Universe. Like the skeletons the ghosts and the ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking like Scooby-Doo or something.
Yeah. Those are cool.
But yeah, so the bad toons, they want to take him to the first.
But Pecos Pete also wanted to take him to the first.
Yeah, I'm like, are there two firsts?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Is Pecos Pete evil? Is he in on it?
Yeah, that's what I like about this, is that something's off because he doesn't want Oliver to, like, talk to his mom. Also, his mom doesn't really like Pecos Pete, her dad. And so it's like, what happened there? And so you don't really know. Like, I found myself guessing, like, kind of going back and forth, like, is this guy even good? It seems like he has good intentions, but we don't know what his end goal is. So that's a little bit crazy.
Right.
So I really like that aspect of it. I think they did a good job balancing, you know, keeping you guessing. But chapter 4, Oliver doesn't trust Pecos Pete anymore because the evil toons are also trying to bring him to the first. And so he just runs off. Oliver's mom shows up and reveals the evil cartoons are trying to drain Oliver's blood to save the toon world. And then we get a flashback to Oliver's mom. She's named Peggy here. We refer to her as Margaret now in the present. But Peggy as a kid is being raised by the widowed single father, Pecos Pete. And she runs away when the cartoon solutions to problems, to nuanced problems like teen pregnancy or body dysmorphia or whatever, don't really meet. It isn't really something that Pecos Pete is prepared to handle as a cartoon. And so she runs away. In the present, Pecos Pete thinks that he's been duped and he's like, man, I'm going to fight you the first. But then the first shows up and throws Pecos Pete off a cliff. And this is a good issue because there's a lot that kind of happens. And then you see like a bit of their past.
Yeah.
I still don't understand. There's a lot of questions.
Sure.
That are raised. Like, was Oliver's mom or was Peggy's mom a human? That fucked a cartoon?
Probably.
That's considered hentai then. Not a cartoon. And like, are there cartoon powers when you have intercourse? What is he doing in bed? Is he using whips?
I don't know. He uses like a lasso to like wrestle a tornado.
Yeah, a lasso. That's pretty cool.
That's probably used there. Yeah.
I like that in the beginning of this, Oliver recognizes that these skeletons and shit are like clearly evil. And so he's like, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
I watch enough cartoons to know those skeletons and ghosts are evil. So
there's never nice skeletons. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then the first is like this like evil witch like looking character.
Oh, yeah. I think that's supposed to be like a Skeletor type.
Right. Yeah.
Type cartoon. But I feel like a lot of these are probably based off what Tony Fleeks and Dave Wachter watched as when they were kids, which is probably more early 90s cartoons, I would assume, and we're kind of a late 90s generation.
Probably, yeah.
Late 90s to early 2000s.
A lot of the 90s stuff bled into like early 2000s, and that's like stuff that we're like aware of.
Yeah, well, that kind of just bled into like Boomerang, and we would watch Boomerang whenever SpongeBob wasn't on or whatever.
Yeah, dude. I'd always see like videos about like, oh, 90 kids, only 90s kids would know. I'm like, I know some of that stuff.
But when you're a 90s kid.
And then people would be like, if you're born in 1996, you're not a 90s kid. Because, like, you're not really.
Yes, you are.
I know, but, like, you're not. I wasn't, like, experiencing things in the 90s, you know?
I
was, like, born in it, but, like, I don't remember things.
You're probably watching cartoons as a 3-year-old in 1999.
I don't remember what that was, you know?
Flintstones.
We weren't watching Flintstones, really. Like, it'd be on Boomerang. On Boomerang, yeah. But that was, like, retro, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we knew that was old.
Yeah, we were more SpongeBob, which is, what, 97 when that started? I think it started the year I was born.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
You're as old as SpongeBob.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I like the introduction of, like, the body dysmorphia thing of Peggy, and then Pecos Pete's like, I know exactly the thing that'll cheer you up. And it's just, like, going to ride, like, oxes or bulls or whatever.
Yeah. Just cowboy shit.
Yeah, he's like, oh, let's do this thing. Let me wrestle tornado. Or
I guess like dads might think like what's fun to them would be fun to like kids, you know,
but he also doesn't really understand how to help because it's not like Pecos Pete has body dysmorphia or has ever had to deal with teen pregnancy. You know what I mean?
Any kind of like you know, also, mental issues.
Also, this panel's really funny to me.
Just his face.
Just his face is like kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that like, maybe this is too brain rot, but it's like a meme of Blob from Monsters vs. Aliens.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like a reaction meme, but that one made me laugh.
Who is the giant girl in Monsters vs. Aliens?
Susan?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Who's like the voice actor?
Oh, isn't it like Renee Zellweger?
Is it like Rashida Jones?
No.
Renee Zellweger would be a crazy pull. I don't even know if you... I didn't know that you knew who that was.
What do you mean?
I know you
She's
knew.
She's in Monsters vs. Aliens. Let me see the cast. Hold on. No, Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon. Okay, okay. You know, Reese Witherspoon isn't that great when it comes to movie to movie.
It's Bob, not Blob. Bob. Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah.
I would believe that.
Like, she's in stuff, but like not like stuff with other people, it feels like. She's got like a...
Renee Zellweger is in that movie, though.
Oh.
She's Katie, whoever that is.
I don't know. Side character, I guess.
Dude, there's a lot of people in this movie. John Krasinski, Ed Helms, Amy Poehler, Paul Rudd. Those are people I didn't know that were in this
movie. Wasn't like... John Krasinski, Will Arnett in that?
Will Arnett is one of the main people, yeah.
He's like the...
He's the goblin dude.
Yeah, he's like a sea monster guy.
The missing link.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And Stephen Colbert is the president. Rainn Wilson's the That's big right. fucking kaiju thing. I didn't know they had a voice actor for that.
She's like,
Stupid.
Anyway, good movie.
So they've been trying to hunt Oliver for his blood as a half-breed. But mm-hmm. isn't the mom a half-breed?
Yeah, he's like a quarter-breed.
Yeah, he's quarter-breed.
But we don't know anything about Oliver's dad, so it's possible that she was also...
Like, exempt.
With, like, a... Well, like, his mom might have hooked up with, like, a cartoon.
Oh.
So he... Oliver's possibly, like, 75%.
Wait, dude, that's true.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Because we...
It seems like she's been wanting to, like, get rid of...
Because she, like, grew up in, like, this cartoon world, it seemed like.
Yeah, but yeah.
So it seems like that's the only thing that she'd be exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, yeah.
Crazy. Chapter 5. So the first tries to capture Oliver. The Good Toons, they fight back by using the whiteout paint to try to erase the first. But the first ends up killing Trixie Belle and Kung Fu Buggy in a pretty brutal way, I would argue, with the paint. Both Oliver and his mom use some of their toon abilities to sort of fight back, so they're kind of embracing it a little bit. And then Oliver threatens to erase himself with like a painted whiteout circle on the wall, and everybody's like, no, don't do it, and then he walks into it when everyone tries to stop him, and now Oliver's dead now. He's dead for forever and gone.
Yeah, but there's five more issues.
But there's five more issues, so that's it. That's pretty much the end of this trade. So it kind of leads you with one, a lot of questions. Why do they need his blood, and why does that solve the problem? What's happening to their toon world? Where did he go? I that's fine that they don't tell us that because it's like the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I love the way that they do it though, because as he's getting into the whiteout, he turns into just pencils instead of just like,
yeah.
Yeah. I love that detail.
Dude, freaking Hoopla. It says how many issues are in books, and it said that there's 6 in this. So when I was reading 5, there's a lot of pages left over.
I assume that there was 6.
Because there was like so much back matter.
Yeah.
And I was like, I turned the page and it's like,
I was like, that's
cover
it?
Gallery. I'm like,
yeah, no. I literally, I haven't had that moment in a while where I was like, oh shit, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this definitely deserves the W for best new series. I don't know what else is up.
Oliver also has like a power, kind of like a Deadpool kind of power, to where he just reaches into his pocket and he has whatever he like can think of.
Is that Deadpool power?
Yeah, because like in like, I don't know, yeah, he always has like big guns and stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so it always comes out of nowhere. It's not like he was like hanging on to it or anything. Mm-hmm. And so he like pulls out like a big axe here and there and just to like, you know, protect people.
Yeah. And the mom has like tornado powers, like Red Tornado type shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool. She had a lasso, I guess.
So this is going up against Absolute Batman.
Okay.
Absolute Wonder Woman.
Ooh.
Minor cool Arcana by Jeff Lemire.
Yep.
The Pedestrian and Power Fantasy.
It's pretty stacked.
It's pretty stacked.
I think it could... I don't think it'll win, actually. Just because I feel like it'll go to something else. What I want to win is either this or Absolute Wonder Woman.
The Absolute stuff is definitely like the commercial success.
Yeah.
I could see.
Some of them have good reason to be.
Power Fantasy like was really big when it first came out, but I think the hype kind of died down.
Yeah, but the what it's about, I feel like, is pretty big concept.
Right.
And is interesting to explore. So I could see why that was nominated.
But I think just like, as far as what is the most creative with the medium, this would win.
Yeah.
You know?
But I don't know if that's what they're... Because I don't know if this is like the best writing of all of those series necessarily. It's just the one I have the most fun with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would argue that Power Fantasy is more nuanced writing. But that's not, you know, that doesn't mean that this is bad. I prefer this over Power Fantasy. You know what I mean? Writing-wise. Right.
So on top of him going into that circle, he also like makes all the bad guys like disappear. Like he voided them.
Oh, he did.
Hiroshima'd them.
Jesus. Yeah, he did. So why did that happen to the bad guys but not Pecos Pete?
Good question.
Maybe he's a half-breed too.
Or his mom.
Mom is a half-breed.
That's what I'm saying. Why wasn't she like half erased or whatever?
Well, I could see why she wouldn't. I'm more confused on Pecos Pete. But there is a line in here where the first says any half-breed will do. And so I'm like, why are they all going for Oliver then? Why didn't they just try to figure out where Peggy was?
Well, Peggy knows what's going on and probably has a better grasp on what she can do.
Got it.
And so it's like,
I feel like the planning of this going is after really like
baby
bad.
Hitler, you know?
I feel like if the first was a good planner, she'd wait until Oliver's at school and then try to interact with them during recess or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, you should come with me. And so the mom doesn't even know about it. But they were pretty loud with how they were trying to acquire Oliver. But I guess maybe they thought that that would work. Like if they picked Oliver up and took him.
Yeah. Wherever.
So I don't know.
Cartoons have like a bit of a healing factor. Because the first gets shot in the chest. Yeah. And a hole is blown through him.
You see the heart?
And then like it just, yeah. And it just like heals back. And the ribs grow back and shit. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
That'd be scary as a cartoon. Watch.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, really super fun book. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We get a cover gallery. I got some bangers in here from different people, but you get the main ones from Dave Wachter, a couple from Tony Fleeks. Jorge Corona is on one, which is cool. Ryan Brown did one. I feel like he's got a good art style for this kind of thing.
You've seen Flaviano and some stuff, right?
Yeah. Doing
variants.
Yeah.
His style is always fun.
My favorite one's Martin Morazzo, because that's such a weird
pick.
Oh,
yeah.
The ice cream man guy, right?
That's cool. And Ryan Brown, did you see that?
Yeah, Ryan Brown's on it. He's got a good style for this. Steve Skros. I forget what he's on. But
oh, Erica Henderson?
Yeah. Christian Ward's on one. I don't like his very much, though. And yeah, pretty much just color gallery.
So what do you rate this book, Nathan?
One Krabby Patty.
A Krabby Patty.
Yeah, a good one.
I give it like a Scooby-Doo sandwich, you know?
Oh, that's a good one.
Where it's like...
You have to like unhook your jaw and like your jaw goes
like
way down.
It's like a yard high. It's like 27 layers of shit. Hell yeah, buddy.
That's a good one.
Big fan.
Much better than mine.
I was just going to give it like some sort of human dessert, you know?
Yeah.
But no, a cartoon is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it feels like I would read this on a Saturday morning.
I hope like in totality, it's like good.
Yeah.
You know, like with those extra issues, I guess his plan to only be 6, but it like did well and was extended, cool. You know? So. It got to 10.
Yeah, I'm interested in where they're going with it. I have questions that, you know, I'm supposed to have at this point, and I want to know what the answer to them are. So
yeah, none of the questions are really answered in the next issue, but the next issue is like very fun.
Cool.
Anyone who reads this and doesn't know whether or not to go forward, definitely like go forward.
Cool.
So let's go into the polis, Nathan. Colon.
Shove it in your box.
The polis, the polis, what did you shove in your box? Big week.
Is it? What are we getting?
Got Ultimate X-Men 17.
Oh, yeah.
Battle Beast number 3.
Ooh, already.
Robin and Batman year 1 number 9.
Is that it? Was that supposed to be 9?
I think it's supposed to be 12.
Oh, okay.
We got Imperial number 2. I haven't read 1. We got New Gods number 8.
Mm.
The last issue of Predator versus Spider-Man, which is number 4.
Nice.
Godzilla versus the Marvel Universe, number 1.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Marvel Knights, like the world to come,
Oh, cool. That's the Joe Quesada one.
Yeah, number two comes out. I bought number one, haven't read it.
Oh, okay.
Crypto, the Superdog, number two.
Let's go.
And Post Malone's Big Rig, number one.
Yes, sir. Big Rig.
For a whopping $7.
Yeah, if you want that good.
It can be that good. So if you want that piece of weird history.
I mean, maybe get number one. In case I meet Post. You know, my boy. In case I meet my boy Austin up somewhere.
Can you imagine?
He performed at the Esports World Cup. I think that's really funny.
Can you imagine, like, someone that's so big for music? Like, I'm sure, like, Gerard Way has done, like, Comic Cons and stuff, but
yeah.
It just seems so unlikely that they would go to, like, a Comic Con or something and then just get, like, the comic fans, you know?
No. People of, like, fans of Post Malone would buy tickets to the thing and then get tickets to see him.
Yeah.
And be like, you do a comic?
Yeah. I don't give a shit.
They don't care that he's that one guy in TMNT.
What?
You know, the animated TMNT?
He's
a
dolphin or something?
Yeah, he's like a whale.
Or
narwhal?
Manatee?
Manatee, yeah.
The singing manatee?
Yeah.
Anyway, then what'd you read?
I read Absolute Green Lantern, number 4.
Hell yeah.
It's fine. I don't know where, like, they're taking a little bit of time to get to where they're trying to go, I feel like, so.
Are you like, here for it, or?
I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, this is definitely the slowest one of all the Absolute stuff.
Hmm.
And, like, you still don't really know what the point of it is yet.
I feel like you definitely stick with Green Lantern stuff more than, like, a more casual Green Lantern
band. Yeah, I'm more fanatical about it,
yeah, for sure.
Just because I'm interested in what they're doing. Even though I'm not caught up on the regular Green Lantern book, I don't think.
Right.
I'm not. No, I'm definitely not. Captain America number 1.
Oh, yeah.
By Chip Zdarsky and Valerio Schitti. Schitti?
Whatever.
Schitti? Yeah. And that one's fun, too. I think that's good. I think Captain America needed, like, a dude that can make just dialogue interesting. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of that. There's not, like, a whole lot of action, I would say.
Yeah.
I like the time period that it's set in, which is just like a week after he woke up.
Yeah.
It's like Captain America week 1.
I like a kind of like true reboot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just like wherever Captain America is right now.
Because surely there's comics about this time period.
Yeah.
So
plenty, probably.
Yeah. But I like seeing like the old Iron Man armor and stuff like that because he shows up in this. And I'm interested to see where it goes because it seems like there's a dude in here that's supposed to be like a Captain America type origin, but it seems like he'll turn out a little bit differently than, you know, Steve Rogers did.
Yeah, kind of like a modern one.
Yeah.
Potentially. So, mm-hmm. And so, then he's like on the team with Cap.
Yeah. And the Creature Commandos, or not Creature Commandos, Howling Commandos.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
They're going to fight Doom or something. So I like that. It's like a SEAL Team 6 type shit.
Yeah.
And then I started my catch up on Ultimate X-Men. So I reread like 7 and 8 and then read 9 and 10. And that book is hard to get back into because there's a lot of characters.
Yeah, they have like, you have the issues.
I have the individual issues up to like 14, I think.
Yeah, because they have like the characters.
They have the,
like, in the front call sheet.
Yeah, I don't watch that.
Oh, but it, yeah, definitely keeping track of like who's who and who says what kind of thing it seems like just such a new world. So
yeah.
It definitely is better to binge this sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
or like at least be like following along as it comes out, you know?
Yeah. Even doing that would be tough. Like this, I think, would read so much better in trade because reading these back to back, like I can start to keep track of who's who. It's still kind of hard to know.
But if you're reading like one issue a month, I think if you were committed to it, you could, you know, pick up.
Yeah, probably.
But as you're catching up, definitely trade, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a lot of characters, and if they're not constantly, like, saying in the dialogue, like, oh, hey, Nico, Minoru, you know.
Right.
Do you want to go over to Serge's house?
Right.
Serge is in here. I think she's cool. So that's, like, I guess it's hard to just, like, jump back into, which is not a criticism of the book. That's just I'm dumb.
Yeah.
For not catching up with it, because it's so good.
It is very good.
Visually really cool. There's a lot of really cool action scenes in these couple of issues. There's some like sad shit that's going on, which is fun. And what was I going to say?
But yeah, she's cranking it out still. I don't know if there's like an end in sight, but there hasn't been like fill-in artists or anything.
Yeah.
And she's been just doing really well writing. I haven't seen anything else that she's written.
I wonder what the roadmap is, because I think all of the Ultimate stuff is supposed to connect to something by the end. Because in the recap pages, it talks about like the Maker making the Ultimate Universe or whatever. And he's got like this committee of bad guys or whatever. And that's how they connect to the different Ultimate series.
Yeah.
So I wonder when that's going to come to an end. I don't really want it to connect to Ultimate X-Men because it's good. Also, I think Wolverine is in an issue, but they don't call him Wolverine. But he looks like Wolverine in like a Weapon X program. And it looks awesome.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's great so far. But that's pretty much everything I read.
Sweet.
What'd you read?
I read The Boys, number 40 through 48.
Oh, shit.
And then I read The Boys. They had like this spinoff book called Highland Laddie, which is like a Huey like origin-esque book. He like goes back to Scotland for a little while because he just found out that Starlight is like Starlight, you know?
Because in issue 40s?
47 is when he finds out, yeah.
About Starlight?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And so
that's a season one thing.
Is it really? Yeah, I've been meaning to rewatch that. I think Sarah would like it. But yeah, definitely things that happen are in different places, you know, and they just do things in a different order, you know. But this is like the artwork. It's like the last issues of Derek Robertson stuff, and then it's where Russell Braun starts.
Yeah.
And Russell Braun's awesome. He is so good.
Oh, really?
And it really fits like the style, you know, and like the spirit of like The Boys.
Like but a with crass that, sort of
yeah, like feel. It like fits and it, but it's not like really trying to copy Derek Robertson, which that's is good.
I'm sure that was hard to pull off.
Right. Yeah. And
because Derek Robertson's so distinctive, I feel like. Like he's got such a style where you could see it and be like, that's Derek Robertson doing what he does.
Right. Yeah. So that's I like him a lot. So I'll keep going up and I'll finish it.
Nice.
Without a issue. The Huey origin stuff, that was John McCree, and I don't like his stuff as much, but it's a little boring because it's just like him in Scotland. Like,
yeah, I can't imagine this.
But like Starlight shows up in like issue 3, so I'm like, all right, this is familiar, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And then there's this like side issue or the side problem where there's like someone smuggling like this coke that's like cut with Compound B. You know,
cool.
And so he's like, there's that going on. And there's like a lot of like Scottish jargon to where like there's just these bubbles. I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what this person is saying.
It's like Scottish slang or sayings.
Yeah. They say Ken, like K-E-N. And I figured out that means like think. I don't know if it's like reckon, but like a small
version of
reckon. It was, I don't know. I picked up on that, but that was about it.
Look at you.
Yeah, I was just trying to get through it, really. But and The Boys, we find out that Queen Maeve is like a mole for The Boys, is kind of like feeding them info. The dialogue in this like second half of the story is like a lot better. It just like flows a lot better. It's less dense, less exposition and whatnot.
That's good. He's probably just getting tired.
Maybe, yeah.
Which, you know, helps.
And they're kind of hinting that like Homelander kind of has like multiple personalities kind of thing. Like they're really like shitty Homelander, and then just like one that's trying to be like the front facing media guy kind of thing. Like he'll have like a fight with himself in the mirror kind of thing.
Okay.
So pretty good.
Very nice.
I read Uncanny Valley 6-8. Good stuff. It gets really like meta in these issues. So big fan.
Yeah, I'll probably read them.
And then I read Aliens versus Avengers 3 and 4 to finish that up. And crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Good, crazy stuff.
I haven't read 4 yet. I'll read it this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember when 3 ended, I'm like, they're still cooking with this.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Did you want to talk about anything you watched? Or?
Yeah, I watched the Saw movie after Superman.
Saw 1?
Saw 1, yeah.
Good movie.
It is.
Why did you just give it 3 stars in? If you think
I mean, it's just like fine. You know what I mean?
That's like the best. It's like the best one.
I don't think it is.
What's the last Saw movie you saw?
Probably like five.
Five? Yeah, no.
There's not like...
It just becomes about the traps. I went to watch it
for like gore.
Oh, that's not the one for that then.
But I liked the detective story in this. And dude, like Danny Glover's in this. I didn't know that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's like the main detective dude.
I just recognize the guy that's in the room. He's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it just moves kind of slow in the beginning. And there's just like, they have to like, there's the two guys that are chained in the bathroom or whatever. And they get the saws. But they like end up finding more and more about the situation, which I think is a cool idea for the movie. But you can tell James Wan gets way better at directing movies after this. I know this is like one of his first ones.
Sure.
But it's got like, it ages not very well, I would say.
Oh.
Like there's parts of it where it's like, all right, and this is going to be like really scary, but it just ends up looking like a music video where there's like fast cuts and it's supposed to, and then they like speed up thing. There's a car chase where it's literally, you could tell that they're like not moving at all, but they're doing this with the steering wheel, like kind of moving it back and forth. And then they just zoom in like to them to make it seem like they're actually driving. So it's just like a little bit corny in some parts.
Yeah.
But also like, it's pretty slow in the beginning. But my favorite thing is that the two guys that are in the bathroom, they have to like throw things to each other. And they're so bad at throwing and catching the entire time. Like he'll be like, throw me that tape recorder. He throws it. And the guy just like looks at it and it goes like way over to the right. And he has to like go pick it up. And then he throws it back to him. And the other, it just goes fucking way. Like they're so bad at it.
I needed like a burp cloth from Sarah today. But she like grabs it with one hand, throws it to her other hand. But her other hand like smacks it towards me. And it like goes to the ground. I'm like, what the fuck was that?
She'd be perfect for this movie.
While I have a puking baby in my arms. So it sounds like that.
She'd be a good casting for this movie then. Because they throw things back and forth like 8 times and they didn't catch anything. It's ridiculous.
Crazy.
So it's fun, but I think the other ones are like Saw 2 is probably better maybe. I don't know. I'd have to watch them. But we were just talking about horror movies right before we went to go see Superman.
So you need like the opposite of a chaser movie?
Kind of.
Like Superman would have been the chaser movie.
I was just like, we should watch it. It'd be fun. And Sophie was like, okay. So I watched it with Sophie. But it's not, it's like not even a horror movie. Like nothing really scary happens, I would say.
Yeah. I remember just liking like the plot more.
It's just good. Yeah. The plot of it is, it's more thriller than it is horror.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them go kind of more into just like, I don't know what you call them, just gore fantasy things. But that's what I wanted to see at that moment. Cause I was like, I want to rate from like 1 to 10 if I could do it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because I remember one where guys had, like dig a meat hook into like under his pec and it's like attached to a chain on the roof and he has to like pull himself up with like a pulley system by that thing.
Mm.
And so you have to dig it deep enough into your pec to where it'll hold your weight.
Yeah.
And like just stuff like that. I was like, I wonder, you know, if I still think that they're creative. But these ones weren't really crazy.
The last one, someone has to like saw off their leg and then get this like drill / suction thing and suck up bone marrow from their femur and then fill up like 3 ounces of bone marrow or whatever.
Gross.
In 3 minutes.
That's a wow.
I'm like, everything was 3 minutes in that movie. I'm like, this is fucking stupid.
No,
that's like
sucks.
Saw X or whatever, or Saw 10.
No, I like the ones where it's like there's a key behind your eye and you gotta scoop your eye out. You know. So that's what I was trying to watch, but there isn't really any of that in this.
Those just end up being about the death traps and then like the plots is kind of like whatever.
Yeah, there needs to be a balance there, but like there's a twist in this that's really good, and I just think it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Also, the dude digs into like a toilet that's in there, and it is gross.
And
he like doesn't find what he wants, and the other guy's like, "Do you find anything in there?" And he's like, "Well, there's definitely no solids." And I'm like, "That's gross." And then I played a video game called Peak.
Okay.
And it's basically a climbing game. It's kind of like a cozy like survival type thing, but the goal is just like get to the top of a mountain,
but you can fall to your death.
But you can fall to your death.
Ah,
and there's
cozy
proximity chat, and so like if you're climbing a mountain and you leave your friends and they get like further and further away from you, you just like can't communicate with them anymore. But what's also fun about the game is if you're climbing, you have like stamina and stuff, so you have to be really strategic about what you're climbing and how you do it. And it's all like procedurally generated, so no, you know, two climbs are the same or whatever. But it's really funny when someone misjudges what they're able to climb and then falls and like plummets to their death, and you just hear go and like goes to their death, and that's pretty funny. And then when they are dead, they become like a little ghost and can follow you around.
So did you like hand foot foot kind of thing, or is it like,
you just have a certain level of stamina and you need to get to a spot where you can like stand pretty much. But there's like, they give you like carabiners that you can dig in to the the mountain at certain points, or like a rope.
Yeah.
But you also have to like manage your food. So you have to like find little apples and stuff that are around so that you have good stamina. You can carry people too if they don't have enough stamina. Huh. But then that uses more of your stamina. So you have to be like, pretty strategic about that. And it's actually really difficult.
So is it just like you're moving the stick in whatever direction you want to go?
It's a PC game.
Okay.
You're moving, you're pressing W to climb up and holding left click.
Okay.
But it's really fun. So I recommend that. It's like an indie game.
Yeah.
That just came out. It's getting pretty popular. It's like $8. Totally worth it.
Gotcha.
And then I watched Superman, but what did you
Superman!
Watch?
Superman! Superman, colon, DC Universe, the movie.
I guess.
Yeah. Superman of the Galaxy.
Superman. You watched this too, which is cool.
Yeah. Because
you haven't been able to watch a whole lot of things in theaters.
Yeah, got a babysitter.
Yeah, I got a babysitter and shit. Because you got to go see your boy Clark.
Made a thing of it, you know?
Yeah. And
I had to deal with parking and shit.
Yeah. But you didn't miss that.
No.
But this movie fucking rules.
Good movie.
It's really, really good. I had pretty high expectations going into it. And I tried to like temper that as much as possible because I didn't want to like overhype it in my head.
Right.
But it still was like pretty good in my mind.
There was really high Rotten Tomato scores, but I'm like, it could still not get there to me. You know?
Yeah. That's what I was kind of worried about.
So I was definitely trying to like relax, you know,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't too bloated. I was a little worried about that.
I was too, because there's a lot of Superman elements that you kind of have to like cover, you know, because there's like Krypton stuff, Superman stuff, Clark stuff, Daily Smallville Planet stuff, Smallville stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the Kents, you got Lex Luthor, you got this Fortress of Solitude, Krypto's in this. And then there's like a whole other fucking cast of superheroes and stuff. So I was like, this is going to be tough, I feel like, to really pull off.
But I think it works.
I think it works too. Yeah. I mean, I would like to, you know, see more of certain parts of this in the future, obviously. Like some of just the Daily Planet people. But
yeah.
They get a play in this and they have a part to play in it that is relevant. And so I think it's good.
Like Lois has stuff to do.
Yeah. She's not like a damsel in distress, which is really cool. She ends up saving Superman at a certain point, which is great.
Yeah.
Action's really fun.
It's like a superhero movie that mostly. That feels the most like a comic.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool. And I definitely see like the All-Star Superman like influence, you know?
Yeah, I see that. I think probably All-Star and Birthright are pretty big influences.
Yeah, right off the bat, I'm like, oh, that's some Birthright shit.
Yeah, I know, which I'm glad we read that, even though I didn't really like it that much as like a Superman story.
With the hammer guy or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
And just like the Lex, there's like Lex interactions where
the Superman way Lex flies is in this is a lot like Birthright.
Yeah, totally. Even though I don't think he's from Smallville, or I guess we don't really know that for
sure. Yeah.
I like that, you know, it's not an origin. I think that helps in his benefit a lot. So
yeah, you should have bet me. Like, I was like, oh, it's going to have origin stuff. But you're like, no, he's going to start off flying, you know, which he did.
Yeah, he did. That's true. I should have taken that bet.
Falling, but he was flying at a point.
He flew like within the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there is like kind of origin stuff in here because there's Bradley Cooper shows up out of nowhere.
That was hilarious.
That was a jump scare. You're like, whoa, because it's like really close up to his face.
I died. I thought that was so funny. I was like just laughing at decisions that no one else was laughing at.
Yeah.
And Bradley Cooper was every one of them.
I got that spoiled like right before I went in. So I was like, shit.
Dude, I was playing movie to movie and I choose Bradley Cooper and he's like he popped up. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I did, movie to movie didn't fucking spoiled that.
It for us.
That's like the only downfall of like directors having like his favorite actors or whatever is just reusing them. But that one really sticks out to me, you know?
That one's like, yeah. Cause I feel like most of the casts that were used in this aren't like big stars necessarily. I mean, Nicholas Holt is, and you have to kind of get past that. But
yeah.
I think you get eased into that pretty quickly.
Nick Holt was a great Lex.
Yeah, he's really good.
But like, it was still Nick Holt's voice.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so that's just Nick doing this, you know?
Yeah, a lot of Lex voices are pretty deep.
Right. I like how he's like a similar age to David Cornsweet, but like.
Yeah.
That was just something that stuck out to me.
I think I thought that as well. I'm like, Nicholas Holt, okay, he doesn't really have like a deep voice. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, he's just like a tech mogul.
Yeah.
Redditor. Probably, you know, like, yeah. You know, that kind of feel. So I was like, I think it works. But his Lex is really, really strong because he's pretty sinister and he's just a hater for the love of the game. And I kind of love that.
Yeah. So it's like, he pissed me off every time he's on screen. I guess that's what he's supposed to do.
He's very punchable. and just like, I think that scene where he's in the pocket dimension and he's got that dude that has the Indian food stand or whatever.
The falafel guy.
Yeah. And he's like doing the Russian roulette with that guy. It's very intense because the guy himself is very genuine and he's like, I don't have a family or nothing. Like, you don't have to tell him anything. And then it was like, it was an honor to like serve you. And I'm like, oh, that's so. And then the second shot kills his ass. And that was the first time in a long time where the whole theater is like, like a big gasp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what an interesting thing.
And this is the one dude guy who like goes to Superman when he crashes into the ground, yeah, sidewalk or whatever. Yeah,
and he helps him up. And
he's like, oh, you think you could help Superman? You know, yeah, but he still goes for it.
And man, and then I actually saw a thing on Twitter later that he was in the news and he does have a family. And so he was lying to Superman to get him like not tell him information.
I know,
which is like the most tragic.
Don't tell me that.
I think that's so interesting because like there's deaths that happen in like comic book movies, but a lot of them are like cannon fodder. So the fact that this one is just, even though it's one life, it's so passionate.
It bothered him.
Yeah.
How do you feel about David Korn's sweat?
Amazing. My favorite Superman.
I thought immediately.
Yeah.
He definitely works, and he like maybe takes some getting used to like kind of like he's like Superman now, mm-hmm, kind of thing. I don't know if there'll like ever really be like an actor. I'm like, oh wow, like I don't see like an actor or like a real person in the world, and that's just Superman, mm-hmm, you know? Because it didn't seem like there's much of a difference between him and Clark Kent, you know. But I don't have that big of a connection to Superman to where like I guess I care that much. But
I don't really care that much either. And to be fair, I think Henry Cavill is really, really good at Superman, but they're just used for different reasons.
Yeah.
Because like I like Henry Cavill more if he's like depressed and thinking a lot in the air. You know, he's really good at that.
He's looking off into the distance.
But to have him be like hopeful and genuine, I don't really see that as much in Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
And David Korn Sweat, he beams that.
I think I just want like the Superman from like For All Seasons on the screen, which I don't think we'll ever get.
No,
but that's just kind of all I want.
But this is the Korn Sweat's closer to that than I think any other Superman. And he's a little corny at first because they're trying to establish him as like kind of a corny guy, like corny Southern guy.
He's like, "What the hey?"
He's like, "Yeah, what the hey?" Yeah, exactly. And so they're like, "Okay, you know, hopefully it's not this all the time."
But right.
They do really good. But yeah, he's a really good Superman. The Lois Lane, you know, relationship. I feel like I wish we got more of their sort of chemistry.
Yeah.
Because some of that is kind of glossed over, I guess, mm-hmm, because there's a lot to handle in this movie. But the scenes that they are together, I see why the relationship is like so interesting.
Yeah.
She's a reporter and, you know, she interviews them. But they're also kind of like a secret little thing. And that's kind of fun.
Luther Corp?
Yeah, it's normally LexCorp, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
I thought of that as soon as I saw the sign, but they were calling it Luther Corp the whole time, and I didn't think anything different.
I guess Luther Corp is what they call it in, like, Smallville.
I like LexCorp like better.
Definitely. I just thought it was an interesting choice. I like
the two-syllable.
Like, it just would be easier for making signs and stuff.
Yeah, true. There's a scene that Lois Lane and Superman share when there's, like, the interdimensional imp thing, mm-hmm, that are out there. And he's like, I gotta go find my dog. It's not even that good of a dog. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I wish that scene was like kind of more, it's not undercut, I guess, by the like the heavy like emotional beats, like the falafel guy getting killed. That's not undermined with like jokes. And I think that's why it works so well.
Yeah.
But then there's a moment like this where they're kind of debating the relationship and
Lex tried to make a joke. He's like, I thought that would last longer.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but it's still kind of like a sinister
thing. But no one's laughing at that.
No. But it like they keep it serious and they keep it tonally very serious.
Yeah.
But then when they're talking about the relationship and you see, even though I love Green Lantern in this and he's hitting the interdimensional imp with a baseball bat, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
I wish that didn't undermine the scene where they're kind of like debating their relationship.
Right.
But the line, the new punk rock, maybe that's the real punk rock. I love that.
I hated the bit where he's like, I'm just a punk rock girl. I'm like,
that sucked.
I'm like, come on.
I didn't love that. But when Lois Lane was like, you think everyone, you believe in everybody and you believe everybody is beautiful. And he says, maybe that's the real punk rock. I was like,
that's good.
I was like, oh, and that like resonated with. That's like a line, and I'm like, that's a good line, and that resonated with me. Because I think it's people are so quick to be like cynical about everybody else or whatever.
But like that whole thing is just kind of James Gunn like putting himself into the movie.
Yeah, sure.
Which I guess you can do, but like, I don't know if I necessarily care.
I think the theme of it being like, this is a guy that believes in everybody, and that's like not the norm.
Yeah,
is an interesting thing to call out.
Right.
So I just like that scene.
James Gunn loves a big monster.
He loves a big monster.
That was probably my favorite scene, I think. I don't know. It's just like,
yeah,
it was just like, it just works and simple. I'm like, well, look at that guy.
Yeah.
Sarah's like, that reminds me of Lucas. I'm like, what? the big monster. That's just like, just walking around being dumb.
Yeah. I mean, that was a good scene because it shows Superman valuing all life, because he doesn't want to kill the thing. He just wants it to not hurt other people.
Yeah.
And when it does die, he's like pretty sad about it. You know what I mean? Mm. He's saving a squirrel on the road.
Yeah, I was like, come on.
No, I get that. I'm like, because he values all life. That's the whole point. Yeah, and so yeah. I get that. But Dad was the same. He's like, a squirrel. I was sitting next to Dad the whole time, and he had questions.
Yeah, I bet.
Or he had things to point out.
Do you like the Mr. Terrific like Yondu scene?
He's great in this movie.
He is very cool.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how Mr. Terrific was gonna work like on screen.
Yeah.
I've only read him like a little bit, pretty much in just Strange Adventures and like the Terrifics.
Right.
And I love him in the Terrifics. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't know how this is gonna work. But that actor, I forget his name, Eddie Gathegi or something like that. He's really, really good. He looks really good. Like the T mask, phenomenal.
I didn't think that was gonna
pulled that shit off.
Yeah, they like cut it off to where you move his mouth and stuff.
And the spheres are really good. And the most obvious thing was in this movie is like the T spheres are flying around, and Crypto, a dog that flies, sees a ball that flies, and like he goes after it. And that's just a thing that works, I feel like, so well.
And then comes back later.
It should be obvious, yeah. And then it comes back later.
I'm like, yes, there we go.
And I'm like, that's so funny, because I never thought about those two things interacting. But yeah, that fight scene with him is really cool.
Have you ever any experience with like the engineer? Like seeing her in anything or?
The engineer?
Yeah.
No.
So she's in like the Authority.
No, I don't know who that is.
Like the cyber character.
She the like chrome one.
Saws and shit. Yeah.
Oh, that's who that is. Okay.
Yeah, she's normally like a completely chrome.
Oh, character. She's the chrome one. Okay.
I think she can turn into a human or whatever, but I was kind of expecting her to be like completely chrome. I didn't see any trailer where she was in it because I didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
But
she's cool. I just didn't know who she was. Yeah. So she's part of the. Is she normally a good guy?
She's in the Authority. And the Authority is like a good.
Good team.
Good team, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess like anti-heroes in a way.
Maybe some like moral grayness.
Right.
In there. But I thought she was cool.
I read the first trade of the Authority, and so I was kind of expecting more of that. No, it's not like nanotech kind of thing, but or nanites. But that was like the design that felt like the most Snyderverse.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like black, you know, and it's like dark and there's a lot of murdery stuff, you know.
Sophie thought that she was trying too hard. Because she like speaks Spanish as like a part of it, and like the first scene you see her, and she's like trying really hard to like curse in Spanish almost. And I thought that was interesting because I don't speak Spanish.
She's
so
like only Venezuelan, so she might actually know Spanish.
Yeah, but... well, she speaks Spanish in it.
Yeah.
So, but I thought that was an interesting thing that Sophie pointed out to me.
It's cool to have like culture with these characters, you know?
Yes. Agreed.
Is that just whitewashing this character? No, right?
More whites the better in my head.
I've never seen her in anything. She's very, very powerful eyebrows, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like how Superman wasn't, like, OP in this.
He got his ass beat most of the time.
Yeah, he needs help. He needs the sun, like, a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And, it's just, like, that's kind of like the boring part of Superman is that he's just like can't handle everything.
Yeah, the most interesting parts of the movies of the movie is in action, which I think is good. That's a sign of a good Superman movie, I feel like.
I wish Metamorpho didn't have like the face prosthetics. I wish we just saw NoHo Hank with like.
I think it works.
It works
for like live action because I think if it was just like a white mask, it'd be a little funky.
Well, not even like a mask, just like he just looks pale. Paint his face white. And then everything else can have like a design, I guess.
But... Is he like a dude that turned into that? Or is he like an alien? Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah, it's like some experiment thing.
I liked him in this.
Yeah,
Metamorpho was cool. I wish we got like a little bit more of him.
But I wish like we could like tell it was NoHo Hank from like his face.
Yeah, you know? You can tell from his voice though, which I think is enough.
Right.
but he's cool. I don't understand the baby.
I guess he shagged a green lady or something.
No, because you see his girlfriend.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Maybe so I don't know why the baby's green.
I guess he can be whatever. I don't know.
Because I was like, is Metamorpho an alien? I don't think so. But
Sarah saw the baby. She's like, we have to go home. I miss Lucas. Oh my god. I'm like, okay. I'm like, are you serious? She said we had to go home. I'm like, why?
Yeah. Look, we're in the middle.
She's playing with me, but like, yeah, still. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like a very like cute baby. It was like a little. No, it was ugly. It's kinda, but it's still a baby.
I'm surprised it was undamaged through all that because he was getting thrown around.
I knew like James Gunn wasn't gonna kill Crypto because it's a dog. Wasn't gonna kill the baby because it's a baby. Wasn't gonna kill the engineer because there's a Authority movie coming. Mm-hmm. So there's some of that that you can like consider.
Yeah.
My thing is like when Metamorpho makes the sun, powers up Superman, and they're like breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering why there wasn't like cameras in the pocket universe so where Lex can like see that shit's going down.
To where?
I don't know. Anywhere?
Yeah.
He's got like drones everywhere.
I feel like, yeah, that's true. He did have drones.
And you'd think you'd want like one just dedicated to watching Superman.
On this guy instead of guards like 500 feet.
Yeah.
You know, a different direction.
See a big light. You know? Yeah.
That's true. Green Lantern's great in this.
Yeah, big fan.
I loved it.
That's good. Do you think he like embodied Guy?
Unbelievably well.
Yeah.
I think it was so good to have Guy in this. Initially, I was like, Guy Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
But I see why, because you need like a guy that's like egotistical so that it's fun to like kind of make fun of him, I guess. Or like just be a foil to the personalities of the Justice Gang.
Yeah.
But like every scene he's in, I think he steals it. I think he's really fun, really funny. The constructs are fun. As a Green Lantern fan, I'm very satisfied. But it makes sense why it's like Guy Gardner.
Yeah.
Because he's great in this.
Yeah, it definitely adds to that.
I was also like a little bit worried about like Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Not because I don't think he's a good actor. I just think he's like, you know, it's like Nathan Fillion doing comedy. I feel like in most stuff. Like when he's in Guardians, I'm like, that's just Nathan Fillion in like a weird alien suit.
Yeah.
But in this, I feel like he really embodies like this like guy that thinks so highly. He's like so cocky and egotistical and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he embodies that really well.
I liked your Letterboxd review.
Yeah, I thought it would be funny to just do Green like, Lantern review.
There's like three paragraphs about like Green Lantern.
And I was like, Superman movies are good too. But that's where I wanted to like put all of my thoughts into it right there, just to like get it out. So I'm not just talking Sophie's ear off about it. But
right. Yeah. My
Hot Girl's great too. We don't. I wish we saw more, but I think we will in like Peacemaker or whatever.
So. Yeah, I mean, maybe a little in Peacemaker, but I like how they added like the scream and stuff.
Yeah, the screech was like, very interesting.
She kills a guy.
She does.
I thought that was they were gonna come back to that where he wasn't actually dead, but
yeah,
no, they
I'm
just,
like, did she grab him last second?
She killed a dictator.
No, she fucking killed that guy, which is cool.
Yeah.
Murder. The geopolitical conflict was great in this because it's not something that like Superman can necessarily solve. He could like help the little guy.
It's definitely complicated for
Yeah, it's Superman complicated for like, one guy to help get involved.
In. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good conflict for because it's something that would make world news. And yeah. So when Superman gets involved, people are like critical of that.
Right.
There's like that Tucker Carlson guy in this.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Like Michael Ian Black, I think.
Is that the actor's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen him in comedy stuff, but yeah.
He had a show on Comedy Central. It was like Michael and Michael. It was him and some other guy named Michael.
I've seen him in something else. I think he's in Horrible Bosses or something.
He does like a political show now. It's a comedy show.
Oh, really?
And it's pretty good, yeah.
Nice.
I just see like clips and stuff. I didn't love that the final fight was just like main Superman. Character versus evil version of main character.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that either.
Like we always get like the equal match kind of thing.
I like that it wasn't an equal match up to this point, and then it's just like, but I guess in a sense it's still not because it's like a drone being piloted by Nicholas Holt, like a Street Fighter.
It's weird that it was like a mix of Ultraman and Bizarro.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it was Ultraman. I'm like, oh, he got like a different dimension Superman.
That's what I thought.
You know, because that's what Ultraman is.
Yeah. I'm like, he's grabbed this from some other dimension and that'll set up something later. But yeah. No, it's just, he cloned him. Looks pretty close as a clone. Doesn't look Bizarro, really.
James Gunn, he read The Boys and he's like, they're not doing it in The Boys. I'm going to do it, you know?
Doing what?
Like the Black Noir character.
Oh, yeah.
Is actually the clone of the Superman character.
Yeah, it's true.
Which is fun. I like it. I like it.
Mm-hmm. It sets up that like he's been studying Superman for a long time.
Yeah.
And doing fucking around with things with them for a long time. So I think it kind of works. I wish it was different somehow.
And then they like supposedly like killed him, thrown him through the black hole, but he will probably come back or something at some point.
He'll probably come back. I'm fine if he kills him too.
Yeah. So speaking of him killing, when he, after that point, all the little minions or whatever that fly around were attacking Superman. No, there's people in there.
Oh, really? And he lasers them?
Yeah, he like does like a 360 like laser thing. I'm like, whoa.
You need to chill out.
But they like fall to the ground. You see them like growling in pain. You see that it didn't like cut through them. Mm-hmm. It was like a concussive blast kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Because I was like, whoa.
Dude, he looked fucking awful with the kryptonite thing.
Oh, yeah.
His face is fucked.
It's all like lumpy and gross.
Yeah, I'm like, ew.
That was a cool
workaround.
Rather than just making him like look like he has like food poisoning or something.
Yeah, it gets all green like in Birthright. But yeah.
Do you like that in order to stop the black hole, you had to like hack the black hole or whatever?
No, he's just closing the portal or whatever. I think it was fine. I mean, I think it was too open, I guess. It was open too much. Yeah. I'm like, this seems like uncontainable at this point.
Right.
So I think, but I don't know how pocket dimensions work.
Like,
so
the property damage is crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Some people's houses got like fucking split. So
right.
I assume there's a lot. What I didn't believe is that they got people like out of there.
Evacuated?
Yeah. Evacuated.
If there's like 6 million people there and then they got them evacuated.
Everybody's out. I'm like,
It's good that they added like an evacuation scene.
Yeah.
So there's not like just. But terror happening?
What's the process to being like, hey, there's like a pocket dimension opening up and it's heading straight towards Metropolis and it'll be here in like an hour?
They just hear evacuation. They all get out and there's no traffic.
I guess that is a good point because there's a lot of crazy shit that happens in this universe. So maybe there are protocols for this kind of thing.
Yeah, at this point.
Because there's dimensional imps and no one really blinks an eye, it seems like.
Yeah, dude, when the fucking kaiju is going around, people are standing around.
They're like, holy shit, look at that.
You stay to look?
Yeah, I think they like to see the heroes.
Insane.
Yeah.
We didn't see David Corn Sweat shirtless at all.
Yeah, that was a big problem for some of the people that I went with.
Yeah, it's like
Roxanne and Mom.
It's like you've been working out all this time. You don't want to show off your work.
We didn't see any super nips, which is unfortunate. Mm. But I don't think you can really.
He changes multiple times.
He does, I don't think you're gonna be a better shirtless Superman than Henry Cavill, and I'll just say it.
That's true.
You can work your whole damn life.
I don't think anyone ever will be.
I never will be ever in my life, and I just like have to accept that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I understand. I didn't even notice that he wasn't shirtless at any point, but at least do like a little suit rip or something. And you see a nip.
Yeah, he gets like obliterated
because he looks good
all the time.
Like in interviews and stuff, I'm like, that's a big man.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he looks great.
He's a tall dude.
He's tall. Yeah.
Maybe he didn't put on quite as much weight as they were hoping. But
apparently, when he got the call, James Gunn was like, just mainly work out like shoulders and stuff so you look good in the suit. So yeah. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But I don't think he had a whole lot of turnaround time.
Yeah. I'm sure the suit wouldn't even like show off a lot of definition because it's not just like.
It's like a little bit looser, I guess, compared to.
He looks like he's able to move.
Yeah. I think the suit looks so good.
The Henry Cavill one, it looks more like a morph suit kind of thing.
Yeah.
This one looked a little bit stiffer. I hate how they always have to have some sort of like design in the blue part, you know?
Yeah, I think they didn't overdo it though.
Yeah. Yeah. But the trunks are back, baby.
Trunks are back.
I'm here for
back in a big way.
Supergirl pops up at the end.
Oh yeah, she's great.
I was like, oh, whoa.
I didn't realize. I like that was the reveal, is that he's like dog sitting.
Yeah.
I think that was clever. Because Crypto is kind of rambunctious this whole time and he's kind of causing issues.
And there's definitely like the cousin dynamic between them.
Yeah, true. I like that.
It's cool that he's not like a perfect dog, you know?
Yeah, I like that aspect. And I think it's good that he is that way because when Lex and Superman have that final standoff, Superman's not going to like give the audience the relief of punching Lex in the face. You know what I mean? And so to have Crypto jump and like, you know, throw him around a little bit, that's cathartic, I think, for the people in the audience being like, oh cool,
right,
billionaire tech mogul person's getting embarrassed.
Yeah.
So I think that's good that we have Crypto and he's cute. So
yeah. And then last thing, I just like how when Superman wants to see like the footage of his parents, it's like his like Earth parents.
So cute.
I'm like,
so cute. Yeah, I think the Kents were really good in this too.
Yeah, there wasn't a ton of them, but
there's not but they leave an impression because the mom's like leaning over speaking on the speakerphone, which is funny, and then Pa Kent is like very genuine and kind of
he didn't seem like
introverted, I guess.
Yeah, not like overpowering or helicopter parent kind of thing. They're like normal parents.
He shoots off some wisdom in that scene that they have together on the bench outside. So right. I think it's good. Sophie recognized the Pa Kent actor from Constantine.
What?
I know. I'm like, what a crazy pull. I mean, I know she loves that movie, but man, she had like a wild pull. Because he's like a priest or something. He's the priest that gets killed, I think, in the like in one of the scenes.
Priest that gets and
like he's like sitting in a chair, I think, when he gets killed. And I'm like, what an insignificant character in that movie for you to recognize this version of him, much older and joyous.
Yeah, dude, I fucking guess so.
She
I didn't recognize him at all.
She amazes me with some of the people that she knows. She like knew Adrian Brody was in some random movie.
What?
I can't even remember. That's how like
was it Predators?
No, it wasn't.
Dang.
What movie was it?
King Kong.
Yes.
Good movie.
She knew Adrian Brody was in King Kong. I'm like, I don't even remember Jack Black in that shit.
Yeah, Adrian Brody was like a writer or something.
When I saw the movie,
I just Adrian watched Brody. That like a couple months ago. But
yeah, she hasn't seen that movie in decades.
Good movie. Holds up.
I bet it does.
Rewatch it.
But the fact that she doesn't know Adrian Brody from like The Brutalist or whatever he's been in, you know?
Yeah, or like The Pianist.
Or any Wes Anderson.
Right.
You know, it's just so funny.
The Darjeeling Limited.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So anyway, good movie.
Good movie. So you rated it 5 stars.
I did. I've been thinking about it since, and I think it's like not perfect.
Yeah.
But I left and I was like, I feel fucking good. You know what I mean?
I was buzzing watching it and like right after it. Yeah. So.
And like I find myself thinking about it a lot and I really just enjoy the message. So I think and there's so much to balance as well. So it can't be like perfect in my mind. But I think if you only rate movies that you consider perfect 5 stars and then you just don't have any 5 stars, your 4.5 becomes your 5 stars. So I rate it 5 stars.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it is the way that it is, and I wouldn't necessarily change it or, you know, increase its runtime to give space for more,
you
know, Jimmy Olsen scenes or whatever, who's great in this too.
Do you think it was like hurt at all by it kind of being like a universe establishing movie, like the first of the new DC universe?
No, because it hardly feels like it. I would say like I know I'm gonna see like Green Lantern again, and this like establishes him in that, but he feels like a character that works in this just kind of on his own, I guess.
Yeah, it's cool to be dropped into it rather than just whatever the beginning
like
is.
There are some characters where it's like this is just like a little taste of Perry White, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Perry White was cool.
Yeah, but no, I didn't think that bothered me at all. I don't think anything was shoehorned in necessarily, so I gave it 5 stars. I think it's earned it
for sure. Alrighty, Nathan. What are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
Another Eisner nom?
Nope.
Mayhaps?
Because at this point, the Eisner's winners will be released.
Mm.
So.
Okay.
We got Alien Earth coming out, Nathan.
Oh, shit.
Yes, sir.
I forgot about that.
We got a bloated August.
Let's go.
So
okay, Alien book?
Yeah, Dead Orbit.
Yeah, that sounds good. I don't know what that is.
It's the James Stokoe book.
Oh, of course. We should read that.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
So you got Alien Earth coming out.
Sweet.
And very excited.
Yeah, let's read that. James Stokoe.
Yes, sir. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for watching. We got Linktree in the bio. You can go to our socials. You can comment. Books you want us to read.
What do you think of Superman?
Yeah, what do you think of Superman? Let us know.
What do you think of the Eisner winners?
Yeah.
Are the Eisner winners out?
If you're listening to it,
a week
the day
late?
It comes out, tomorrow, the Eisners will be
okay, happening. Pause. Until that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know.
Email us at trailerspot@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And goodbye.
Peace.